Thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys can have a seat. While you're doing that, look at someone next to you and say, I just love you so much. And you gotta mean it. You gotta mean it. Hey, and while we're at it, come on, you've already been clapping. You're going to do it this whole service in Jesus' name, okay, to make me feel a little bit better. But hey, let's welcome everybody that's watching live online right now. Come on, our family loves you. We're so thankful that you are joining us right now. We're having a great time here in the second service here at Desperation Church. For those of you who don't know who I am, my name is Travis, and I get the pleasure of serving on our students team here, and I really just get the pleasure of serving inside this house. And I never take this platform without the opportunity to give honor where honor is due. And maybe you're sitting here and you've heard this a million times about giving honor. Well, it's just who we are. It's the culture of who we are here at Desperation Church. It's who we're going to be. But this platform, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for a man who took a shot on me. His name is Andy Heiss. And can we just give it up for our pastor right now? Yeah. And to go a step further than that, I was texting him this morning. I was just saying, man, like to just belong to this house is enough. To be able to serve here, to be able to come here, is enough. Much less have this platform. And I want to let you know, and I hope this is very evident before the day is over, that what we get to be a part of is something that is very, 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 very special. And I don't know if you know this, but Jesus is in this room right now. And here's what I love about Desperation Church, and I've had the privilege of in my 8 years of ministry of being able to go around and see some different church cultures and some different houses and seeing kind of the wide array of church and what it is. The difference maker for me in Desperation Church is that when I leave this place, I just want to get as close as I can to Jesus. I don't want to stop praying. I don't want to stop worshiping. I don't want the worship set to be over. I want Keith to get in the car with me. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what I'm looking for. I got her clapping. The rest of y'all should too, okay? I'm going to get you guys up top in a little bit. I'm working, all right? Hang with me. But hey, we are finishing up our series in Caves and Kingdoms. Man, I'm loving this series. I've been loving this series the entire time, but today is our last week. But I'm pumped about this message, and I'm going to go ahead and give you the disclaimer for the message. This message is not about something that we do. It's who we were created to be, and that is a worshiper. Okay, so a term you've heard if you've been around church long enough, or really if you were even human at all, is the term worship. And so what we want to do today is show a portion of scripture inside this text when we're talking about David and throughout his life. We're going to show a portion of scripture that just really defines what worship should look like. And we're going to exemplify a man in King David that had the tagline, had the title of a man after God's own heart. And he gets that because David was a worshiper. And so if you got your Bibles, you got your apps, go to 2 Samuel 6 in verse 12. 2 Samuel 6, we're going to start in verse 12. And if you are in here today and you have ever said they just don't read enough scripture over there at that church, I'm about to read half the Bible, okay? And you never, ever have that excuse again. I also don't read out loud very well, all right? So just forgive me. I have little ears, okay? Now, let me give you a little context about what's happening right here. So David has now become king. We've talked about the anointing of David, how he came to be anointed king. Well, there's a 12-year process from him literally going from the caves to the kingdom. And he's in the kingdom now, but the Philistines, the bad guys, have got the Ark of the Covenant. Now, if you don't know anything about the Ark of the Covenant, really basically it just means the presence of God. It is what held and hoisted the presence of God in the Old Testament. And so they're going and getting the Ark of the Covenant back, which is cool, but there was a journey and a route to get it back to the Israelites. In fact, they're supposed to carry it. They're supposed to be men that carry the Ark of the Covenant, that carry the presence of God. Well, they decide they're going to put it on oxen. Well, while they put it on oxen, there's a man that puts his hand up. Well, as it's about to fall, he touches the Ark of the Covenant, and it actually kills him because nobody can handle the immense pressure of all of the presence of God. And so it actually kills him there. David is really mourning, so they stop. They put the Ark of the Covenant in this man's house. His name was Obed-Edom, okay? I'm thankful my family did not name me Obed-Edom. If you're in here today and your name is Obed-Edom, I just made fun of you, and I'm sorry, okay? But I think my chances are probably good. Your name is not Obed-Edom. But check this out. They put it in Obed-Edom's house, and it says that the Lord blessed his house. Side note, little message for you. You can pay me later. Is that the presence of God is what produces blessing. So if you want blessing in your home, pray a little bit more. Worship a little bit more. Let's change that music from something the world has to offer to that worship music. Well, let's ask the presence of God inside of our home. Y'all can thank me later for that, okay? All right, byproduct of the blessing. All right, but they put it inside of his home, and it blesses his home. Well, they get the Ark of the Covenant back, and they're taking it back to the Israelites, and they're taking it back to Israel. And this is where we catch up with them, starting in verse 12. It says, "Then King David was told, 'The Lord has blessed Obed-Edom's household and everything he has because of the Ark of God.' So David went there and brought the Ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with a great celebration. After the men who were carrying the Ark of the Lord had gone six steps." Now check this out. They've got the Ark of the Covenant. They've got the poles and the rods that run through it. And every six steps, they would stop and praise God and offer up a sacrifice. All right, you want to talk about moving slow. Some of you wives, you think your husband drives too slow. Maybe you think he drives a little too fast. This thing was going slow, okay? So they're going six steps. It says, "After the men who were carrying it had gone six steps, David sacrificed a bull and a fattened calf. And David danced before the Lord with all of his might." Check that out, all of his might. "Wearing a priestly garment," which is AKA just his underwear, okay? All right? The Bible's so nice. It says, "So David and all the people of Israel brought up the Ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of the ram's horns. But as the Ark of the God entered the city of David, Michal, the daughter of Saul," who is David's wife at this point, "looks down from her window. When she saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord, she was filled with contempt for him. They brought the Ark of God and set it in the place inside a special tent that David had prepared for it. And David sacrificed burnt offerings and peace offerings to the Lord. When he had finished his sacrifice, David blessed the people in the name of the Lord of heaven's armies. Then he gave every Israelite man and woman in the crowd a loaf of bread, a cake of dates, and a cake of raisins." Now, if you didn't know this, those were aphrodisiacs. They were going to go perform another act of worship. We're saving that message for February, okay? You can come back then. During the dating seasons, holler. I'm going to let Andy handle that one, okay? It says, "Then all the people returned to their homes. When David returned home to bless his own family, Michal, the daughter of Saul, came forward to meet him. She said in disgust," how distinguished, the sarcasm here, "how distinguished the king of Israel has looked today, shamelessly exposing himself to the servant girls like any vulgar person might do." David retorted to Michal, and I really never pronounced that word. And so, like, pat on the back, Travis, okay? That's good. "And David retorted to Michal, 'I was dancing before the Lord who chose me above your father and all of his family. He appointed me as the leader of Israel and the people of the Lord. So I celebrate before the Lord.'" Check this. "Yes, I am willing to look even more foolish than this, even be humiliated in my own eyes. But those servant girls you mentioned indeed think that I am distinguished." So Michal, the daughter of Saul, remained childless throughout her entire life. Now check this out. This is basically what's happening. The presence of God comes back into the Holy Land to the chosen people of Israel. David strips down to his priestly garments, to his hanes, and gets out and he's dancing before all the people. He's just excited to be in the presence of God and that the blessing of God is coming back into his place, into his home, into the city of David, into the city of Israel. Then Michal looks down and it says in contempt, in disgust of what David was doing. And I'm going to go ahead and give you, we don't have points today, but there's two types of people that are in the room. And this is really where we're going with this message. There's two types of people that are in this room. There's two types of people that exist. And we see this with David and Michal. We're going to go from two different perspectives. There's people who worship, and there's people who watch people worship. This is what's happening in this moment. So if you're good with it, let's do this. I'm going to pray for us, and then we're going to dive into this message that's simply titled, How to Worship. Okay? God, we love you. Lord, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love that your presence is already here. We love that we've already began to worship Jesus. I pray in Jesus' name, God, that we would experience so much more of who you are. God, Father, I pray that we've only scratched the surface of what today might offer Jesus. And God, I pray that you would speak, you would preach. God, you would do everything that a man cannot do, Jesus. Father, I pray the words would not fall void from my mouth through this microphone into the hearts of the ones you so love and created. Jesus, we love you. We praise you, and everybody said, amen. Now, how many of you in here, you can't lie, in church, how many of you in here have ever been like a concert junkie before? Anybody? All right, I've seen some hands that I never would expect for you to be like Led Zeppelin. Whoa, okay. So I would never expect you to be like that. Now, I want to give you a little background on me. When I was in high school, I was a walking identity crisis, okay? And I was, like, here's the type of music I love to listen to. Like this emo rock music, okay? It's kind of dead now, but it's like the kind where like a demon is screaming into the microphone, you know what I'm saying? And we're like, yes, this is awesome, right? And so this is what I love. And so I'm listening to this music. I got this buddy named Rob. He was like they would have classified him as, we don't do that here, but they'd have classified him like an emo rocker guy. And he was my best friend. And we would just jam out in the car together. Like we'd listen to music till it felt like our ears were almost bleeding. And here was me. Here was the thing. Rob, if you're watching, sorry, bro, I'm about to embarrass you. Rob wore skinny jeans before they were cool, okay? And I know what y'all are thinking. They still ain't cool. You judge your own journey, not mine, okay? All right, so Rob wore skinny jeans before they were cool. Nobody literally in the world, Rob was the first one to ever wear skinny jeans, and he'd wear like the band shirts and stuff like that, and he would take the iron and like flat the straighten iron and flatten out his hair just like that. And then best friend over here, I was straight frat boy, okay? I had rainbow flip-flops, and I had those chubby shorts like up to here. Guys, if you got them, stop. All right, that's my agenda today. Shut down the service, okay? I wore those up here. And then I had like the polos on. Man, I was a walking identity crisis. And I know what you're thinking. Things ain't changed because you're wearing Chelsea boots, tight jeans, a dad polo, and a bomber jacket in the middle of August. Judge yourself, not me, okay? And so I was, that's who I was. But I listened to this like emo rock, yeah, okay? And we decided we're going to go to all these shows. Well, because you didn't call them concerts when you were a real rocker, you called them shows, okay? Because we knew the bands, no one else knew, all right? And so we go to this show, and we thought we were going to see this band called Cope City, okay? Now, don't go look them up, all right? Unless you want to hear the devil, all right? And so we thought we were going to see this band called Cope City, and we're getting super excited because this is one of our bands. And we go, and we get there early, and we get to the front row. And they start playing. We're like, man, this is about to be it. Because back then, here's what was cool. I don't know why. It was called a mosh pit. You would get at the front of the stage, and everybody would just start fighting each other. We don't know why. We thought that was so cool with the sound of the music. So we're getting up there. Like, we're getting ready. I'm like, I'm about to slap somebody with my rainbows. You know, this is going to be awesome. And then the music starts, and it ain't Cope City. It's a band called Copeland. And it's they're like this like really soft indie. They're like the trees are just the wind, super like kind of just like flowy. And Rob and I are just sitting there like, man, what's going on? So we sit there for just a little bit, and then out of nowhere, Rob just shoves me, and I'm like, nah, bro, you don't shove me. I'm a frat boy, and I shove him back. And Rob's like, he just shoves another guy. Next thing you know, we're in the middle of this like indie, like super, this is awesome right here, mosh pit happening right. It would be like if people got in a fight in the middle of oceans. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what's happening right now. And so no joke, the drummer gets up, points us two out. The security comes and gets us. We're getting escorted out of this building. Check who we saw. Keith Varden, our youth pastor, walking in. And then he named his son after that band. He won't tell you that. It's called Copeland, okay? And so we're walking out. I tell you all that to tell you this, is that we came in with an expectation, and we left because of a security guard with different expectations. Now, here's what I love about our church, and I'm so thankful that I get to speak on behalf of our church today, on behalf of our pastor, is this whole place, Desperation Church, was founded on just seeking the presence of God. Yeah. Pastor Andy, when he built this place, when he had this vision for Desperation Church, he'll tell you there was no name, there was no vision statement, there were no core values. All he knew was, I just want the presence of God. Man, I just want people to experience the presence of God as soon as they pull into the parking lot. Man, I want them to just know, if they walk away with anything else, that they would just know that Jesus is here. And man, I want that every time that we walk through those doors. I believe, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that healthy things grow. You want to know how to nourish people and their soul the most? Just get them into the presence of God. Yeah. You know, one of my favorite things in the world is whenever I get buddies and I get people that I know aren't like having a strong walk with God or they don't know God at all, and you take them into an environment just like this, is that they'll say things like, man, that was so powerful. Well, they've been to shows, they've been to rock concerts before, they've been to production, they've seen the guitar, they've seen the smoke machines, they've seen the pianos that I can't play, they've heard people that can sing that's really good. The only difference is we're not putting on a production, we're worshiping Jesus, right? That's the part of the message where you clap. Yeah. Thank you. We'll keep working. Right, so we're not here for production, we're here for God's presence. Right, so there's a difference. There's something different inside the atmosphere. Some of you have felt it. Maybe you've been coming for week after week after week, and you're like, I don't know what's drawing me to this place. I would let you know the first and foremost, the thing we want you to experience the most, I think the thing that God wants you to experience the most is his presence. It's just him. Just know I'm in the room is what he wants. Now, I give you a little background here inside of Scripture, the reason why we worship. Maybe you don't even know, like, why do we sing the songs? Why do we raise our hands? Well, I would love to tell you. And if you're one of the people that you're like, man, I want to go deep into the Bible, we're about to dive in, because here's what I want to let you know, is that there's three main portions in heaven that we see: the worship, word, and prayer, right? Represented by three different archangels. Well, there's one archangel named Lucifer. Lucifer is, we call him the devil, Satan. But he was the worship leader in heaven. And really what we can see inside of Scripture is that he was really made out of instruments. And they believe, scholars believe, that between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 and 2 is when he had his fall. They were given all the glory to God, and Satan decided he wanted to take on the glory himself. But I want to reiterate what Scripture said, is that pride comes before the fall. And I want to let you know this, and this should speak to your life. This is what Scripture says, is that he fell like lightning. There was no battle. Our God is much more powerful than the devil that's trying to fight you right now. So it says that he falls like lightning. Well, he needed something to take his place. Bond, because check this out. God finds his home in our praise. Yeah. God makes his home inside of our worship. The reason why we worship, the reason why we sing the songs that we sing is because God finds his home there. That's what he loves, what he adores the most. You know why? It's because he knows that you and I can't handle worship. You and I can't handle the adoration, the affirmation. You and I can't handle the praise. Right, because what happens is that we go to that pride, and that leads to destruction very, very quickly. In fact, Proverbs 11 tells us that pride leads to destruction, but with humility comes wisdom. What's God saying? It's like, hey, I want to take what you can't handle. Should be a word for somebody in this room. Maybe you came in here, you came with a burden. Maybe you came with a mountain. Maybe you came with an addiction. Maybe you came with some sort of sin. God wants to take what you can't handle. The weapon that you use to defeat it, though, is worship. The weapon you use to defeat worry is worship. The weapon you use to defeat addiction is worship. So what we have is not just songs on a screen. No, we have a sword in our hand. It's worship, right? But there's two types of people. And really, here's what I want to do. Here's what I want to do. I want to just put us into a category, Lord. Let us know, are we here to worship, or are we someone who watches people worship? Man, I don't want Desperation Church to be known as a people that just watches everybody else worship. I want to be known as a people that are exuberant, expressing our emotions before the Lord, giving everything that we have back onto him. I want this place to not be a place where we come in and just do a church service. I want it to be an offering before the Lord, right? Just like David. Yes, come on. We go on there. But this is what it says in verse 14. It says, and David danced before the Lord with all of his might, wearing his priestly garment. Now, I'm not giving anybody permission to just be like, all right, underwear, what's up? About to worship, right? Security will get you real quick, okay? Jerry's in the back. I got him ready. I told him, be in both services, okay? Because somebody gonna try and get in their priestly garments, okay? So David and all the people of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouts of joy and the blowing of the ram's horn. I want to let you know this. Before David was a king, before David was a giant slayer, before David was a shepherd, he was a worshiper. And I want to put this in your seat. Before you were an entrepreneur, before you were a mom, before you were a dad, before you were a school teacher, before you were a student, you were born, you were created out of a need that God had in worship. Before you were any of those things, you were a worshiper. Now look at me in the eyes. Most serious thing I'll say all day. Before you were an addict, before you were an adulterer, before you were a divorcee, yeah. Before you were living in sin, what you were born to be, your identity, all of us have this one. We all have the same tagline. We all have the same title. You were born to worship. That's your title. That's who you are. That's who you're supposed to be. So David knew something. What I love about David is that he just has this mindset that's completely different from everybody else. Is that David came before the Lord saying, I am here. I am hoisting your presence. I have your presence with me. You know what David was saying when he was responding to Michael and when he was dancing in front of people? He was saying, I am willing to strip off my earthly dignity and take on God's identity. Right? I wonder if there's somebody in here today saying, you know what? I might have socioeconomic status. I might have a rep. I might have anything. I might have a financial change inside my pocket. Maybe not. But I'm willing to say, you know what, God? I'm willing to take all that off because that don't define me. Your reputation at school doesn't define you. What you've done, hear me, church. I don't care where you've been. I don't care what you've done. I don't care who you've been with. That doesn't define you. Your God who created you defines you. Right? You're born to worship. That's who we are. So I want to give you the definition. So if we're going to give the definition of worship, this is basically what it is. And let's put it up on the screen. Is that worship is love expressed. Basic and very simple. If you're taking notes, they're going to ask for it when you get to heaven. Write that down, okay? What's worship? Got you. Come on, all right? But they're going to ask for it. But here's, I'm just playing. If you believe that, don't believe that part. Believe everything else I say, okay? Worship is just love expressed. Like I remember when I first started dating Michelle, how much I was, I just had that goo goo gaga love, you know what I'm saying? I still do. What's up, girl? You look good over there. I like that dress-ish thing. You just look good. You need to know that. I'm messing up right now, and she's not going to like this. But I remember when we first started dating, I was like, oh my gosh, Michelle, your hair is just so beautiful. Can we hold hands? Can we kiss? She don't do PDA, but I do. I was like... Here's what I want to let you know is worship. Worship is a public display of affection, right? It's just saying, hey, I don't care. I don't care who's around me. I don't care what's going on. I'm willing to say, I'm going to let all that go to show you who I love. I don't care who sees who I love. Doesn't matter what's happened during the week. Doesn't matter what's went on. Man, God, I'm going to show you. If you're going to get anything from me in this life, you're going to know that I love you. Man, that's what we do when we come into this room. It doesn't matter who's around us. It doesn't matter who's looking at us. You can look at me if you want to, but I'm not looking at man. I'm looking at God. And you can't see God when you're looking at man. Right? It's a public display of affection. Now, when I was studying for this message, it was kind of cool. I was studying for it, and I learned something. In my favorite passage of scriptures, John chapter 4, it's Jesus and the Samaritan woman, and he tells her that the true worshipers will worship in spirit and in truth, and that's really a message in and of itself. But that word worship right there in the New Testament, in the Greek, they didn't have a word for what that word actually meant. So they made up the word worship. So the word worship is what it means, but there's a word behind it that defines it. I'm going to try and get it right. It's proskuneos. Is the word in the Greek. Now, I don't know a whole lot about the Greek, but I try and pronounce a little bit, so if it's off, I completely apologize. But check this out. You know what that word translated actually means? From the word worship to proskuneos? It means kiss. So then when we come into this place, we're not supposed to come in to just set our eyes on God. We're supposed to kiss. We're supposed to be intimate. Right? Now check this out. This is where it's kind of funny. It doesn't even really mean the kiss like between a lover. You know what it means? It's like the kiss of a dog. Okay? Now look, I've got this dog and somebody in here can have her. Okay? Someone's like, oh, that doesn't like my kids. And I like my kids more than I like my dog. But I do know this. One thing I do love about my dog is my dog will come running in. It doesn't matter if I left for 2 minutes. It'll come running up to me. It'll just start jumping like, oh my gosh, you're back. I never thought you were coming back. You're back here. You're back here right now. Get down here so I can lick your face, right? And it wants to get up in my face and just lick all over my face. And I'm like, I don't like it. Check this out. God does though, right? He wants you to say, hey, I want to be as close to you as humanly possible. Right? I don't want you to just show up. I don't want to just have the conversation. No, I want us to be as close and as intimate as humanly possible. It's a public display of affection. Now, I remember my father-in-law told me one time, he said, my dog loves me more than my wife loves me. And I'm like, explain that one to me. He said, okay, one day, I'm going to do this, but I'm going to lock my wife in the trunk of my car and my dog, and let's see who's smiling when I open it back up. I was like, that's a very, very good point, right? But that's the attitude that we're supposed to have is, you know what? Man, I'm back into the presence of God. What was David doing in this moment? He was saying, I'm here. I am here with God. It doesn't matter what man's opinion says. Because I'm in the presence of God. And one moment in God's presence changes everything inside of me, right? So that's how we should treat it when we come into this place. Man, this is a holy time. It's not a time just to put on a show. It's not a time just to sing some words on a screen. Man, those aren't words that are on a screen. Those are the words of a fallen man trying to express the deepest poetry in love to God. When we come in on Sunday, when we go to Converge on Wednesday, and when you're singing inside your car, it's not a time just to throw some words up to the sky, because that's not what God wants. God wants the closest that you can possibly be. That's what a worshiper looks like. On the flip side, here's what a worshiper doesn't, someone who watches people worship. It says, but as the ark entered the city of David, Michael, the daughter of Saul, looked down from her window when she saw the king David leaping and dancing before the Lord. She was filled with contempt. So there's two types of people inside this room. There's David and there's Michael. There's people who worship. Man, it doesn't matter. I don't draw attention to myself. I put all the attention on God, right? But then there's people in here that just watch worship, that just sit back. In fact, we'll read this biblically. But arms folded is not an expression of love. Arms open is.
So good.
Right? Not being having the docile mentality and demeanor is not an expression of love. Shouts of joy are.
Yeah.
Right? So what is Michael doing? She's looking down with contempt at David, who is the king. He's supposed to have all this rep. He's supposed to have all this reputation and this dignity. And he's saying, I will strip all that off before man, because I want to have my identity before God. Maybe you came in, you're like, man, I just don't know about this place. You've heard this before. I know you've heard this before in the community at some point in time. That's just too much. It's just a show. It's like a rock show. The music's too loud. And by the way, let me do this. I felt led to do this. Is it for every senior adult that we have inside this room, I want to take a second and I want to honor you, because you don't come to this place because you like the music. You come to this place because you believe in this church and you believe in its journey. We got the best senior adults in all the area, right? Because they look past themselves. What is worship? Looking past yourself and looking to God, right? I actually got to talk with some senior adults after the first service. They're like, no, I didn't like it when I first came. Now I won't listen to anything else, right? And I'm like, that's right, come on. But we do. They look past themselves and they're looking to God. There's all the excuses in the world. That's just not who I am. That's just not me. Well, here's what I would do. And Jordan, you can make your way on out. I would show you what David said, what the Psalms say, what God says. This is really how he defines love expressed, how he wants to let us know to worship. And this is what David is doing in this moment. See how much it parallels. Dancing before the Lord, Psalm 30, verse 11, it says, you have turned my mourning into joy and my feet into dancing. Yeah. That's just a word for somebody in this room who came in here with a burden and a barrier and a mountain that's in the way. I want to let you know that you can dance before the Lord. Yeah. Because his presence is strong enough to sustain you forever and ever and ever in all of eternity. Psalm 149, verse 3 says this, praise him with dancing. Now, some of y'all can't dance. I know that. I saw some people over, man. Keith was digging in just a little while ago. That was such an awesome moment. Just a little bounce right here, just getting up and down, just ready, man. You just know I wanna experience God. You can tell, you can see it. The exuberance, the emotion, the mind, the will, and the emotions, the soul of us is meant to worship God. The lifting of hands to God. Psalm 63, verse 4 says, I will lift up my hands in praise to you. Not I will cross them and praise you. That doesn't show you I love you. I don't walk through the door of my home and see Michelle and just have my arms crossed. No, baby, I love you. I'm here. Shouting before the Lord, the joyful overflowing of attitude and loud adoration. Psalm 32, 11, it says, be glad in the Lord and shout for joy. The Israelites are bringing the ark back home. Praising with instruments, Psalm 45, 8, it says, stringed instruments are what make you glad. Psalm 147, 7 says, I will sing and make a melody. Psalm 95, 6 says this, in kneeling before the Lord, let us worship, bow down and kneel before the Lord, our God, our maker. And then spontaneously singing. I love this because there's days, there are mornings when I wake up and I go into work, man, and I don't want to talk to anybody in the world. And I hear this voice every morning at about 8 o'clock, and it's Linda Stone walking through, and she's just singing, and she's singing, and she'll sing for a while, and I'm just like, I'm gonna find another room. All right? I'm not singing right now. And then the next thing I know, I'm just like, Jesus, what? You make the darkness. You see, you don't want that to happen. We do a little duet sometimes, but God loves it. Y'all ain't got to, okay? Psalm 33:3 says this, sing a new song and play skillfully with strings. Hey, listen to me. Come on. Let's play a new song in our lives. Come on, let's have some new wine in our lives. Right, let's offer up God something new with our lives. Let's make a statement in this season of rhythm. There's a reason why this message is here for us today, and I believe God strategically designed it for us today. It's because the middle of August is really when we start to set the rhythm of our lives. And for some of you, you know it's just going to be another year. It's just going to be another time where I just coast through life. I'm just going to see another year, another decade, and another generation pass by. But that's not who we are. We're not just going to see another year. We're going to see a year of joy. We're going to see a year of worship. We're going to see a year of praise. Right? But our attitude has to shift. We got to be willing to say, I'm going to uncross these arms. And you know what? I'm going to look to the Father. And I was praying through, I'm telling you, man, this message is, I know it's not the most polished thing in the world, but it has been just stirring and heavy inside my spirit because I want you to experience the glory of God. You know what God's glory is defined in Scripture as, what it's translated to? The weight. That's why you come in this place and you feel the weight of the presence of God. It's different in a rock concert. It's different than maybe even in other churches that you've been into. So you just, man, you feel it. You know it. You know God is here. And I want you to experience it so bad. But for what we have to do, we got to have an expectation each and every time we come in those doors. This is not going to be a year of the rhythms of life. It's going to be a year of the rhythms of grace. And I'm going to experience all that I can from the Lord. And I'm going to feel the heaviness. I'm going to feel the glory. But what we have to do is get close. In fact, when I was praying through all this, I just told the Lord, I don't even know where it came from. I said, God, I don't want the throne room to be unfamiliar when I get to heaven. Amen. I want the same lap that I sit in today to be the same lap that I sit in for billions of years in eternity. Right? I don't want to be another face that just enters into your kingdom because I said some prayer. I want to be a son that sits in your lap.